I know how passionate our players, coaches, the building is. So I know it's important to a lot of folks. On a note, you know, the guys here are busting their tail to get ready to play a good football team and to do the best we possibly can. And they're going to be fired up and ready to go. And that, to me, is a beautiful thing.
You know what would be really beautiful, Andy, is if you win a home playoff game. That would be beautiful. Even if it's snowing and miserable conditions and it's freezing outside, I don't care. I'll be inside where it's warm. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Chiefs, Colts tomorrow. We're going to break this thing down. We're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck, Frank Reich. We'll hear more from Andy Reid. That's coming up in just a little bit. Now, we do have some postponements already for high school basketball night, correct, Dusty?
Yes. The only thing we know for sure on right now is what we know, that, as you mentioned, the girls, the Beloit girls, will start at 5:15 tonight for that varsity with Minneapolis at Beloit tonight. But the game on Z96.3 through the lake tonight in Osborne, Rock Hills at Osborne, has been postponed. We don't have a date on that yet. Obviously, with kind of the different way the schedule's set up with regionals this year, going back to that format, there's probably less dates that are open here to try to get a postponed game in. So they'll look at all that next week and hopefully have a date for Rock Hills at Osborne and a makeup date. But right now it has been postponed, and that game will not be taking place tonight. There's a possibility some of these games could be moved up or postponed elsewhere in the area. We don't have any of that information 100% right now. So we'll say as of now, St. John's, Tipton, and Lincoln is still on for a 6 o'clock girls varsity start time here this evening. So we'll have 5:50 pregame on Katy Country 94 as of right now, with the boys varsity to follow between Lincoln and St. John's, Tipton, and Beloit this evening. Sylvan Lucas at Lakeside tonight, Thunder Ridge at Wilson, and Smith Center at TMP Marion are the other games that are in our immediate area. And again, if we have any other changes, we'll pass those along to you here on Katy Country 94. So that's what we've got right now for high school basketball here tonight.
All right, did you go through the schedule then?
Yeah, that's the whole schedule.
Okay, that's the whole schedule for us.
Do it all.
All right, wrestling information?
Yeah, wrestling. Lincoln results are online at ncksports.com as they competed yesterday at the Hoisington Dual Tournament. So you can find all those results there. They went 1-4 in the duels. And all those individual results are at ncksports.com. Today's wrestling, Smith Center is supposed to be at the Superior Nebraska tournament today at 4 o'clock. We'll see if that changes or not. And then tomorrow, Beloit at Marysville at 9 o'clock, and Osborne and Smith Center at Oberlin at 10 o'clock. We're talking the northern parts of the areas here, so we'll see if all that gets in. Obviously, all that's weather permitting. For all those wrestling events, again, the full schedule for everything in the area is at ncksports.com.
All right, I'm getting some text here, so let me see if there's any more postponements or any kinds of changes, as my phone will cooperate or not. Okay, there we go. Not that important for that. So, yeah, we'll see if there's any more postponements. We'll let everybody know. We can follow us on Twitter. Dusty's, your handle is?
At Dusty40.
At Dusty40. Mine's at NCKS, I remember it. NCKS Radio Guy 10. Yeah, NCKS Radio Guy 10. Also, just follow us on Facebook as well, or Katy Country 94 on Twitter and Facebook and all that good jazz. We'll try to update that. We also usually get it updated right away on ncksports.com. That might be the best way to check it. Go to ncksports.com or be listening to a sportscast later today with the future postponements. And we'll also have a special cut that we can put into our logs between now and sports at noon, as we get more and more postponements or cancellations, if in fact that comes to fruition. So we look forward to all of that. Okay, the big news this weekend, without question, it's the Chiefs and it's the Colts. And some interesting stats with the Colts and the Chiefs tomorrow. First of all, do you know it's been 9,135 days since the Chiefs have won a home playoff game? January 8th, 1994. It has been over 25 years since the Kansas City Chiefs have won a home playoff game at Arrowhead. That's right. So for all those people out there, and granted, I get it. You want to be optimistic? You know what? You're better than I am, because I've gone through 9,135 days. I wasn't a Chiefs fan yesterday. I didn't become a Chiefs fan in 2014. I've been a Chiefs fan my whole life. So you wonder why I have the doom and gloom thinking. People go, why are you so... Well, here's why. 9,135 days since they've won a home playoff game, and it's not like they haven't had their chances to win home playoff games. And then the Colts come to town. Seren Petro, 810 WHB in Kansas City, was with us earlier this week on the Sports Ticket. And I asked him about that doom and gloom thinking. Are we wrong for thinking that way?
I think it's short-sighted, and I think it's cheerleading by media members to say that somehow the fans should have a more positive attitude. Number one, and maybe short-sighted is not even the right word, maybe foolish, misguided is better, because what? A positive attitude is going to help the Chiefs win? No fan sitting there holding your Corona is going to walk out on the field and affect the game. The Chiefs are going to win or lose this game, whether the fans think they're going to win or lose the game or not. So that's all on them anyway. The Chiefs have, you're absolutely right, Wade, they have instilled this sense of doom and gloom in the Kansas City Chiefs fandom, all right, because they consistently lose in the postseason. Either don't get there, or when they get there, they lose. And if they don't lose, they lose immediately to the first good quarterback that they've seen. There's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. Patrick Mahomes being the biggest one, Andy Reid being the second biggest, the home field being the third biggest. Those are the reasons to believe that the Chiefs are going to win. But any fan that tells you, I'll get fired up when they win a playoff game, when they win a home playoff game, or after Andy Reid's won a home playoff game, is not a negative fan. They're a realist.
Yes.
And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes we don't like the truth, but it doesn't change what the truth is. The Chiefs have sucked in the playoffs. They've won two home playoff games. The Indianapolis Colts have won as many playoff games in Kansas City as the Chiefs have. The Chiefs have won more playoff games in the city of Houston than they have Kansas City. And any fan who quotes that or says they're pissed about it or they're nervous about this game because of those facts is simply giving you the reality of the world.
I think that's putting it pretty well. It's the Chiefs' job to change the thinking. Don't be yelling at other Chiefs fans for being naysayers or Debbie Downers. The Chiefs have given us all of that. I go back to the Royals. There was not people gloom and doom with the Royals when they made playoffs in 2014. The Royals stunk for 29 years. But we knew what the Royals were. They surprised us. And all of a sudden, they got hot. And they made it a Game 7 of the World Series. And when they did have some pressure on the next year, they came through. The Chiefs have never come through under pressure when it comes to the playoffs. Since January of 1970 was the last time they did that. So is there doom and gloom thinking? Sure. Dusty and I are part of that. We don't want to be. That's the thing. I think there are people that listen to us and they think we enjoy that. We don't. We don't. I really, really, really want the Chiefs to win tomorrow and that I can get excited about an AFC conference championship game being held at Arrowhead for the first time in Chiefs history. Let that sink in. Chiefs had a lot of really good teams over the years. Teams with number one seeds, 13-3 records, and they've never, let me repeat this, the Chiefs have never hosted a conference title game at Arrowhead. They never have. If they win tomorrow, we will be assured of that for the first time in Chiefs history. And I'm going to tell you, if the Chiefs go out and beat the Colts 10-7, 41-40, I don't care how they win. If the Chiefs win tomorrow, my doom and gloom thinking, I can tell you right now, is gone. Will I still be worried about the Chiefs defense against the Patriots or the Chargers? Oh, of course sure. I will be. Yeah. But I'm not going to be sitting here going, oh, God, they still can't win a home game. They always choke in the playoffs. All right? Now, if something crazy happens at the end of the AFC title game, the Chiefs are up 31-3 and they lose, then, yeah, the doom and gloom thinking will probably come back. But if the Chiefs win tomorrow, I'm telling you, and I talk with other Chiefs fans that are like me, they're just praying and hoping this year's different. But there's no reason to say it will be. You can hope it's going to be because of Mahomes or Andy Reid or home field advantage, as Seren Petro mentioned. What about Andy Reid? What about his team? Are they dwelling on the past? Are they worried about previous, we can say it, chokes?
Like I've said before, every year is different in this league, and every team's different. So you don't spend a lot of time with that. You get ready for the game and go through the process of getting ready for it. And I think that's most important. But I'm sure there is talk. But that's not where we're at right now. We're trying to just get ready to play.
All right, so the Chiefs are getting ready to play, and they're going to be playing at Arrowhead. That should be an advantage, but we know it hasn't been in the playoffs in the past. Andrew Luck, quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, who, by the way, had a fantastic year. 39 touchdown passes, 15 interceptions, threw for over 4,000 yards. He had the second most passing touchdowns in the league. First, of course, was Mahomes with 50. Here's Andrew Luck talking about playing at Arrowhead.
Certainly there are a few more lights on the sidelines and a few more people out there. And it was a loud and raucous atmosphere. And we're expecting you're probably one of the louder atmospheres in football, again, at Arrowhead, in an awesome atmosphere. But once a game gets going, it's all the same. It's the same size field.
Exactly. So home field is great. And can the Chiefs fans cause a false start? Absolutely. Could it be a key part of the game? Absolutely. But the Chiefs are still going to have to get stops defensively, because even if you get a false start penalty called on the Colts offensive line and it makes it 3rd and 7 instead of 3rd and 2, guess what? Chiefs fans aren't going to be able to make the tackle. The Chiefs are going to have to make the tackle. They're going to have to break up a pass, get pressure on the quarterback. So many things about this game. BJ Kissel of KCChiefs.com gives you 6 stats to know besides the 9,135 days since it's been the Chiefs won a home playoff game when Joe Montana was a quarterback and beat the Steelers January 8th of 1994.
The Chiefs host the Colts Saturday afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium with a trip to the AFC title game on the line. In almost 60 years of existence, the Chiefs franchise has never hosted a conference championship game. That can change on Saturday. Here are 6 stats to know for Chiefs-Colts. Since Week 7, the Chiefs lead the league by averaging 35 points per game, while the Colts' defense over that same stretch leads the NFL by allowing just 16.4. But here's some more to know about those numbers. The Colts during that stretch faced just one team that finished the season in the top half of scoring, and that was the Texans, who finished 11th at 25 points per game. In fact, 5 of the Colts' final 10 games of the regular season, when they went 9-1, were against bottom 6 scoring offenses. For the Chiefs, the matchup to watch may be with Travis Kelce, who had one of the best seasons for a tight end in NFL history, and the Colts' defense surrendered more yards to tight ends this season than anyone else. Part of that could be that the Colts run zone coverage more than anyone else in the league. Almost 70% of the time, they are in either cover 2 or cover 3. And Patrick Mahomes has been the best quarterback in the league this year against zone coverages. It's something to keep in mind. On the flip side, Andrew Luck has had a phenomenal season for the Colts as well, completing 67% of his passes for more than 4,500 yards with 39 touchdowns to just 15 interceptions. But it's worth noting that 13 of those 15 picks came when he had to hold onto the ball for longer than 2.5 seconds. In less than 2.5, 26 touchdowns, 2 picks. And when longer than 2.5 seconds, 13 touchdowns, 13 picks. Up front, the Colts' offensive line has allowed Andrew Luck to be sacked just a league-low 18 times, while the Chiefs' defense tied for the most sacks this year with 52, strength on strength. But the Colts faced just 2 teams that finished in the top 10 in sacks this year, the Eagles and Redskins, and both of those games took place in the first 3 weeks of the season. And finally, 142.2. That's the number that best illustrates what Chiefs Kingdom brings to the table. You don't come to games to watch, you come to participate. And here's your chance to be a part of history. It won't be smooth, there will be ebbs and flows, but the one constant will be the passion that permeates throughout that stadium. History doesn't become part of the past until you let it go. And there's a new script being written, we've all seen it. You bring it, the players feed off it, and Saturday, it all comes together.
Well, that's the hope, that it all comes together for the Chiefs coming up tomorrow. Pre-game, 2 o'clock, right here on KD Country 94, and kickoff scheduled for 3:35. And let's dig into this game a little bit deeper. Frank Reich, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, discusses what it's going to be like to face Patrick Mahomes.
He's an electric player. He can create big plays. He can do it out of the pocket, in the pocket. He's got great weapons. It'll be a challenge. It's exciting. You know, as a player, there's something about you that likes playing against the best. And certainly he's had that kind of year. So I think the guys will look forward to that challenge.
What about Andrew Luck's thoughts on Patrick Mahomes, who more than likely will be the league's MVP?
He's fun to watch. He certainly creates some amazing plays, but he also makes the routine and the simple plays. So I think his ability to really make every throw, to do the simple things well, to do the amazing things well, it's fun to watch. Certainly it's been fun to watch on TV, and hopefully we don't see too much of it, you know, when we're playing him.
There's 2 lines of thinking for what I've read about Mahomes. I'm leaning towards the he's special, he's going to make some plays tomorrow, and he may put up great numbers, and the Chiefs may still lose because of their defense. And there's some that believe, you know, Mahomes hasn't had a bad game really all year long. He's had a bad quarter or something, but he's gotten away with a few dropped passes that should have been picked, a couple against the Raiders, I remember, that were not good throws. If he does that tomorrow, the Chiefs are in trouble. And there are some that believe that Mahomes is going to really struggle in his first playoff game. A lot of young quarterbacks struggle in their first ever playoff start. What about Patrick Mahomes? What's he thinking when he goes into this first playoff game?
For me, it's my first playoff game. I'm excited just to be here and then at the same time get the opportunity to go out there and win games like this. I mean, when you grow up, you want to be a professional athlete and you want to win on the biggest stage. And so for me, it's about going out there and, like I said, be myself, lean on my teammates and try to go out there and win a big football game.
Now, the key, too, is Mahomes not trying to do too much too early. He might be a little amped up. I could see him having a few overthrows. As long as that doesn't turn into interceptions, I think the Chiefs will be able to weather that storm. Weather, speaking of that, could be a factor tomorrow. High temperature at kickoff around 32 degrees. They're talking a winter weather advisory in the Kansas City area, 6 o'clock tonight till 6 o'clock tomorrow, although they figure a lot of that snow should be there before the game actually starts, could cause some travel problems for people going to the ball game. Whether or not that's going to really affect the teams on the field, I don't know. Who's going to be better suited for the cold weather? You would think the Chiefs, because the Colts play indoors in their home games. At the same time, the Colts have, it looks like, maybe the better running game, the better offensive line, and the Chiefs probably want to throw the ball more than the Colts do, and bad weather, colder weather, usually benefits the team that's more of a grounded out play action type team, and the Colts are certainly that team and the Chiefs are not. So what about the preparation for this game? Andrew Luck says nothing special.
You eliminate distractions, which guys have done all year. We're in the same mode we've been in for a while. One, today it's about improving. It's about being 1% better, 1% better, 1% better. And the goal at the end of the week is be 1-0. And you've heard us say that before, and we've lived it. And maybe there's a little more chatter outside, but that doesn't affect how we prepare. It doesn't affect, you know, what we do.
Now, one thing the Chiefs could really do to help their chances to win tomorrow is figure out how to stop the run. Frank Reich, head coach of the Colts. And by the way, remember Frank Reich? He was the one that led his Buffalo Bills team as a backup quarterback from a 35-3 deficit in the playoffs in Buffalo against the Houston Oilers and Warren Moon. Everybody thought Houston was moving on.
That game was over.
I remember missing the comeback because we had a rental from the grocery store called the Rocketeer, and I never usually let – we only had one TV in the house growing up. And we're watching that game, and it was 35-3, and my sister was like, oh, come on, can we just watch it? This game's over. And my mom's like, yeah, it kind of is. And I'm like, fine. I was being nice.
Yeah.
And so we watched the movie, and then we – movie's over, we hit the VCR button, and it goes right back to where it was TV-wise, you know, and they're interviewing the Bills' backup quarterback, and I'm like, why are they interviewing the Bills' backup quarterback, Frank Reich? Because they had the greatest comeback in NFL playoff history, and I was watching the Rocketeer.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to be a nice guy. Frank Reich is very smart. He was offensive coordinator for Nick Foles and the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl last year. He was the offensive coordinator under Doug Peterson, who was the offensive coordinator under Andy Reid. You don't think Frank Reich has a good idea what the Chiefs might want to be doing offensively in this game? Now, whether or not the Colts can stop it, I don't know, because the Colts haven't faced any offense quite like this one. But here's the thing. If turnovers are even, it might very well come down to this. Can the Chiefs slow down the Colts' running game? Frank Reich says, we're going to run the ball.
I think there's no doubt an offensive lineman, if you ask him, hey, you got a chance to rush for 150 yards or throw it 50 times without a sack, they're going to say 10 times out of 10, give me 150 yards.
That's the mentality. Colts have one of the best offensive lines in football. They protect Andrew Luck. He's only been sacked 18 times. You heard the stats of B.J. Kissel. If Luck has to hold it more than 2.5 seconds, he has been a pedestrian quarterback. But when he gets the ball out quickly, the Colts are dangerous. Well, how do you get the ball out quickly? You don't get an obvious passing situation. So if the Colts can run the ball effectively on a first down and have a second and five, the Chiefs are in some trouble. Now, if the Chiefs can force a second down and eight, a third down and seven, now the Chiefs have a chance to get Justin Houston, D Ford, Chris Jones, get a pass rush or maybe blitz and take some chances and force Andrew Luck into mistakes. Andrew Luck has 15 interceptions this year. 13 of those is when he holds the ball for more than 2.5 seconds. The Chiefs tied for the league lead in sacks with 52 with the Steelers. The Colts gave up the least amount of sacks. Something's got to give there. Something's got to give. So what are the keys to winning the game? We'll give you our keys, but Saran Petrie, 10 WHB in Kansas City, gave us his keys on beating the Colts tomorrow in the divisional playoffs at Arrowhead.
The Colts, to me, were always the team.
Yep.
Because Andrew Luck's the quarterback, right?
Yes.
Who wins in these rounds? Quarterbacks do. And they've got that guy. Then they've got other good personnel to make plays on offense. You know, they got a wide receiver, number one wide receiver in T.Y. Hilton. They got a great tight end in the goal line at Eric Ebron. Or at least a good tight end. He has a lot of drops. But 13 touchdowns this year, he was doing something right. You know, there's and then defensively, they've really come on. Now, I will say this. All of those numbers came against a watered-down schedule. Their schedule is one of the softest. And the team they beat, the Texans, their record was produced playing a watered-down schedule. The way it broke this year, those two teams had two of the easier schedules. So I think you can you know, grade down the record that they have there because I just don't think it's going to be, you know, they're not quite as strong as they may appear based upon what they've been able to do, you know, in these games. Because the caliber of opponent's not that good. Now, that being said, you leave them around, they'll knock you out. You know, Andrew Luck is a guy that can make plays. So you can't turn the ball over. You got to take care of the football. And I think you are going to have to hang a number of points on the board. Because if you don't, the Colts are going to. Because you know what your defense is. You know, Andy Reid said it yesterday, or 2 days ago. It's a single elimination tournament. He knows that. They'll be pulling out all the stops. And what he can't do is rely on his defense, and we just hope that he understands that's part of the equation.
I was listening to another sports talk show host in Kansas City last week, and it's funny because the thing he's been doing is he has been super overly positive. This year's different. Well, I heard him say that the last 2 years, and he's been wrong. And I hope that he's right this time, and he kept saying this year's different. And he kept saying the reason this year's different is because the Chiefs have the best quarterback in the league, and he says quarterbacks win playoff games. Okay, and the Chiefs have not really had the best quarterback in a lot of these playoff games, which he's right about that. And then he also said in the same breath that of all the teams the Chiefs could play, he wanted to face the Colts instead of the Chargers or the Ravens because of various reasons. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. That just contradicted what you just said.
Yeah.
Of the three quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers of the Chargers, Lamar Jackson of the Ravens, and Andrew Luck of the Colts, who's the best of those three? And to me, it's not even close. It's Andrew Luck.
Yeah, when you need it, and at this time of the year, it's
Andrew Luck
without question.
So now you face Andrew Luck. So that same sports talk show host, not named Seren, then on Twitter, halfway through the Colt-Texan game, goes, "All right, I think I take it back. I don't want any part of the Colts." I'm like, "Oh my lord! You said all the reasons why you wanted
him, right?"
And
now,
so two quarters of football have changed your thinking. So I tweeted him and I said, your whole rationale was the Chiefs are going to be different this year in the playoffs because they have a great quarterback. Then you wanted to play the best quarterback of the remaining three options at Arrowhead? That doesn't make a lot of sense. And they are the hottest team in the National Football League. The Colts have won, I think, 10 of their last 11.
Yeah.
Now, they looked great in the first half against Houston. They didn't look so great in the second half, but I think they pulled it back a little bit. But Houston's not a great team either. And the Chiefs play one of the toughest schedules in the league this year. And you look at it, the Chiefs never did lay an egg in any game, which is scary because, God, I hope you don't lay an egg and try too hard tomorrow. But also, you look at the games the Chiefs lost. The Patriots are the number two seed in the AFC. The Rams, number two seed in the NFC. The Chargers tied for the best record in the AFC, and they lost the Chargers by 1 point at home at Arrowhead. And what was their fourth loss? Oh, Seattle, who was one of the hottest teams in football. And you lost that 38-31, and they got bounced at the end against the Cowboys, a playoff team. So the Chiefs don't have a bad loss. They have raised their level offensively against the best defenses in the league. The Colts aren't the best defense in the league. The Ravens and the Bears were the two best. But the Colts are the most balanced team, in my opinion. Maybe the Chargers are just as balanced, but the difference is Rivers makes a few more boneheaded decisions, and the Chiefs are very familiar with the Chargers. So I think the Colts are the toughest matchup. We talked about last week that the Patriots and the Chiefs both should have been cheering for the Texans to win because I think the Patriots would rather face the Texans at home in Foxborough this weekend instead of the Chargers or the Ravens, and now they get the Chargers. And I think the Chiefs would have rather have played the Chargers a third time than play the Colts. Now, that's the negative aspect of it. Now, the positive is the Colts haven't seen anything like the Chiefs all year long either.
No.
They run a lot of zone coverage. 65% of the time they run zone coverage, and Patrick Mahomes is the best-rated quarterback in the league against zone defenses. But Mahomes is going to see some new wrinkles tomorrow that he hasn't seen all year, and how he deals with those wrinkles will be interesting. The Colts are a complete team. They're good on special teams. They have a reliable kicker, probably more reliable than the Chiefs kicker, who has not been in these pressure situations, Harrison Butker, which makes me a little bit nervous there if it comes down to a kick. Hitting an upright like the Bears, I could just see that be the type of way the Chiefs lose this game tomorrow. Or bad clock management by Andy Reid, or an injury, which, you know, Kelsey got knocked out first half against Titans last year with a concussion. But I do feel confident the Chiefs aren't going to be shut out offensively in the second half tomorrow like they were last year against Tennessee. So there's so many things to look at in this game. Injuries also play a factor even before the game starts. Here's the injury report. Dorian O'Daniel, doubtful for the game. He's a guy that can cover running backs out of the backfield. That could be a loss for the Chiefs. Eric Berry, he did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. He's questionable. I don't know if he's going to go. Honestly, you can't count on him, so let's move on. Spencer Ware is questionable. I don't think the Chiefs are in a bad situation without Spencer Ware. Maybe it's a third down and one where they really need Spencer Ware. I think they're okay with Damian Williams. I'm not freaked out if Spencer Ware doesn't play. He's questionable. I think the most important guy on this list is Sammy Watkins. And Watkins has limited participation in practice. He's listed as questionable. He's going to give it a go. How effective he is, I don't know. But if he can be fairly effective, that changes what the Chiefs do offensively. It opens up the field a little bit more on the underneath routes. And the Colts are the worst team in defending tight ends this year because of all the zone coverage they play. So Travis Kelce could have a big day. I think one of the other things to be watching in this game is how patient Patrick Mahomes is. Because the Colts are going to run a lot of cover two, cover three. They're not going to allow Tyreek Hill to beat them deep. And so is Mahomes going to be content for the 10-yard pass to Kelce, the 7-yard out to Conley, and then, oh, we got a crossing pattern to Hill for 8 yards, and work it down the field and score? Because I don't think the Colts are going to allow themselves to get beat deep. And if Mahomes gets a little bit impatient, tries to force one deep, that could be one of those turnovers, or you end up trying to go deep on a second down and nine. Now you have a third and nine because it's incomplete. I think the Colts are going to try to keep everything in front of them. And listen, if I'm the Colts, this is my philosophy against the Chiefs. It's not a lot different than some of the other teams that had success against the Chiefs. And that is, one, you run the ball. Two, protect the football. Don't turn it over. Three, utilize play action after you run the ball effectively. Four, you got to disguise your looks, but you keep everything in front of you. Now, a couple of those points I just brought up. If you run the ball effectively and stay out of third and long situations, you're going to be on the field more and longer during the game, which keeps the Chiefs offense on the sideline. Also, when you are able to force the Chiefs to go 10 plays and score a touchdown instead of giving up the big play, you have shortened the game. Even if the Chiefs score a touchdown, you have shortened the game even with the Chiefs offense on the field. So if I am a defensive coordinator, I say, listen, are we going to give up points? Yeah, we're going to give up points. Can we score points against the Chiefs defense? Yeah, so we're not so worried about that. But we're going to make the Chiefs take 6 minutes off the clock to score. Maybe we hold them to field goals. The Chiefs cannot settle for field goals tomorrow. And the defense, let's be honest, probably isn't going to get a lot of three and outs tomorrow. They're probably not going to force a lot of punts. But what the Chiefs defense can do tomorrow is they have to hold them to field goals instead of touchdowns. If the Chiefs, you know, give up a 70-yard drive, and the Colts stall at the 20, and they have to settle for three. That's a win for this Chiefs defense. Now, I don't want to see that over and over and over because that happened a few years ago, and the Chiefs got beat by 6 field goals. Now, I don't think the Patrick Mahomes offense is going to be held to 16 points like they were against Pittsburgh a couple years ago. But the Chiefs are going to have to make some plays. This is my opinion. I think the Chiefs have to force at least a turnover or two in this game in order to win, obviously, comfortably. I think if the turnover category is even, it's going to come down to the final possession and whoever has the ball last. And ultimately, we can focus on the defense. No question, it is the weak point. Is anybody expecting the Chiefs defense to be great tomorrow? Is anybody expecting the Chiefs to do what they did to the Raiders tomorrow against the Colts? No. If you are, you're crazy. If it happens, fantastic. I'd love to see the Chiefs win tomorrow 35-3. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not going to happen. So the defense has its issues. We know all about that. But here's the thing, and I brought up Seren Petro, and he kind of dodged the question a little bit. At the end of the game, the Chiefs have, we expect to be high-scoring game. Let's say the Chiefs are up 37-31, 38-34, 41-38, whatever the case may be. The Chiefs are up less than 2 minutes on the clock. Chiefs have the football at the Indianapolis 39, 40, 41, 42-yard line. Under 2 minutes to play, Colts have all their timeouts, or maybe one or two timeouts. And the Chiefs' offense has been really playing well. The defense has given up a lot of points. Does Andy Reid have the kahunas to go for it and leave his offense on the field to clinch in the game? Fourth and one, fourth and two, get one first down to finish it so you don't chance your defense giving up a touchdown drive to get beat? Or does he play it by the book and punt the football away and then the Colts get a touchback, or even if they start at their five, I don't care where the Colts start, the two, the 18. I don't care if the Chiefs go over a fourth and one and turn it over in that situation and the Colts get it at the 40. I think we all agree the Colts are probably going to go score and win the game, right?
Yes.
So why not be your best defense and use your offense, which is clearly your best aspect of your team, and you have the NFL MVP at quarterback, and don't just run a dive play on fourth and one or two. Don't just run a direct handoff to Damian Williams like you did on fourth and inches against the Raiders at the goal line when you went for it. You have to allow Patrick Mahomes to have the ball in his hands, whether it's a quarterback sneak on fourth and inches, Mahomes with RPO, a run-pass option, because where is he so deadly, Dusty?
When he's moving.
Outside the pocket. And that's what I hope the Chiefs do. If they go for it on fourth and two and they don't get it, but they run a horrible play like I just referred to, and Chiefs fans yell at me, oh, you said you wanted Andy Reid to go for it. Well, look what happened. He went for it, didn't get it. You heard me say on this very show at this very moment, it's about putting the ball in the hands of Patrick Mahomes. If it's fourth and one, fourth and two, fourth and three, and that ball is not in Patrick Mahomes' hands other than the handoff, the Chiefs have made a horrible mistake. Now, maybe they'll still get it on fourth and two, running it right up the middle. I don't know. But I am going down with my best player. It's the same way in basketball. If I'm down 2 points, there is no way I'm not drawing a play up for my best player to at least touch the ball. Let him make a decision on a pass or a shot at the end of a basketball game to win it or lose it for me. I want my best player to touch the ball. Patrick Mahomes has to make the decision in a situation if it would come to that. And if Patrick Mahomes rolls right and throws a pass and it's dropped by Travis Kelce, I can live with it. If Patrick Mahomes rolls right and he has a guy open and he overthrows him, I can live with that. If Patrick Mahomes rolls out, slips and falls, I can live with that. If Patrick Mahomes decides to run the football and he gets clocked and he stops inches shy of a first down, I can live with that. The bottom line is the MVP of this league, if a situation arises like that tomorrow or any game in the playoffs, the Chiefs have to go for the jugular. You win the game with your best feature, and that is number 15 in the Chiefs' offense. And I so fear there's going to be a situation, whether it's tomorrow or next year in the playoffs with Mahomes or the AFC title game against the Patriots and Chargers or the Super Bowl, Andy Reid is going to get conservative. Now, he has not been super conservative this year. I agree with Seren on that. But we've seen him in the playoffs. This isn't Alex Smith as your quarterback anymore. This is Patrick Mahomes. We heard all about he was going to let Mahomes let it fly this year. Well, let him let it fly in the playoffs too. If it cost us, it cost us. At least we lose in a different way. Would you agree with that?
I agree with all of it. If you're a Chiefs fan and you don't, then I really can't help you. I mean, we've seen it how it works when you don't, when you're not aggressive, when you're, you know, relying on a defense that's not good. When you think for some reason, hope against all hope, I guess that the defense can actually make a stop when they need to in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help you, Andy Reid. I mean, I can't. You've got to understand what you've got. You know, I think the only way it would have been different than what you said is if Hunt was still on the team, you know, on a fourth and one, you probably can count on him maybe a little bit more than a Damian Williams or a Darrell Williams.
That's the other factor why you put it in Mahomes'
hands. Yeah, exactly. So you don't have Kareem Hunt anymore in those situations. And so now it's Patrick Mahomes or die right now. You know, you ride him. And like you say, if he makes a mistake or if he just barely overthrows a guy or, you know, somebody –
Don't throw it to Demetrius Harris. Yeah, you do not on that play throw it to Demetrius Harris. Yeah. Anybody but Demetrius Harris.
Or the Colts – you know, the Colts defense makes a play, but it's still in Patrick Mahomes' hands.
Get a tip pass,
then you can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want Darrell Williams to have the ball and get stuffed a yard behind the line of scrimmage on fourth and two or fourth and one or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want Sharkendrick West in there.
Or a shovel pass to Travis Kelce.
One of these running backs is going to get hurt. It's bound to happen tomorrow. Right. So I don't want Sharkendrick West out there running the ball on fourth and one.
No.
Okay, you want your guys to be in there And you want to, like you said, put the ball in the hands of your best player, your best attribute, which is Patrick Mahomes, and the offense. So, yeah, I mean, you have a better chance. I would say more like a if you're bound dead set on the running back getting the ball on a fourth down play, I would run a short speed option or something.
The running back is Patrick Mahomes for me.
Yeah, exactly. And if Mahomes knows he can't get it, then you have the pitch option.
Sure, right. But the ball's in his hands to make a decision.
Exactly. It's that speed option. It's in his hands. You let him do it.
Yes.
And then I'm cool with it. If he made the decision to pitch it and they get the first down, then, well, it was the right decision because you left it up to him. And he was going to determine your fate in that situation.
Here's the thing. If that situation does arise tomorrow in the game and Andy Reid goes for it and Mahomes, they run the right play in our opinion or they run the wrong play in our opinion. Either way, it doesn't work. Something crazy happens or it just doesn't work. And the Colts get the ball at the 40. And they go down and kick a field goal or score a touchdown to win the game. Some moron, and I'll call him a moron, some moron in the national media will say Andy Reid choked because he didn't punt the football. And that person will have no clue, have no idea, and hasn't watched Chiefs football all year long. And they will be, and they are, some moron will say it.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you.
Somebody that has watched Chiefs football
has already said it.
Will say it.
Yes.
And it's insane because if they've watched Chiefs football, then they understand, they should understand why they go for it.
Look at the box scores of the games, for crying out loud. I mean, that should tell you as well. But even if you don't watch the games, look at the stats. It's pretty much proven. Look at the defensive stats in the NFL.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Our predictions on the Chiefs-Colts coming up in just a moment. The rest, by the way, the Colts have a lot of injuries to deal with, too. This is good news for the Chiefs. Eric Ebron, their tight end, who has 13 touchdown passes, he did fully participate in practice yesterday, but he has a hip injury. T.Y. Hilton is their best, probably, offensive weapon, mm-hmm. besides Andrew Luck. He has not practiced all week long with an ankle. Now, he's going to give it a go. You know that. But if he's not 100%, that obviously affects them. Now, Tyreek Hill, full participant, looks like he's good to go, and that's great. Kendall Fuller looks like he's healthier. He's good to go. It will be interesting to see Charvarius Ward. Now he's a corner, taller corner. Will the Colts try to take advantage of him and his inexperience? I'm worried they might get one big play on him maybe for a touchdown, which is not the end of the world. He can bounce back. But he played okay the last game, but the Raiders are the Raiders. This is the Colts. But the Colts don't have like wide receivers that scare you other than T.Y. Hilton. So I think the Chiefs defense has a chance to do a little bit better than some people think because the Colts offense I don't think is as good as some people may believe it is. They've had games where they scored just 6 points against the Jaguars. They've had games where the offense has disappeared. But the Colts defense is pretty good. This might be a lower scoring game than we anticipate. So our prediction's coming up in a moment. The rest of the NFL playoff picture. In the AFC, Sunday afternoon at 12:05, the Chargers go to New England. The Patriots are favored in this one. Of course, they will be. I don't know why, but I don't know about the weather, though. I think there's a chance for it to be really cold and snowy up there as well, and that would bode well for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. But New England's not that good this year. Gronkowski's not himself. Brady doesn't have Josh Gordon. He has Edelman. They have a decent running game. I know the Patriots will have this, great game plan defensively, but I don't know, man. I feel like it's a good matchup for the Chargers. They've got a pass rush to get to Tom Brady. The Patriots don't have a good pass rush, which means Rivers can sit in that pocket, and that's his strength. I'm taking the Chargers to win this game. Outright.
Yeah. I do agree that this is probably one of the better matchups the Chargers could hope for, the Patriots this year. That weather is going to be a key factor for me, too, is kind of how that goes. I'm going to pick the Patriots.
Going with the Patriots.
Just to be different here.
I had the Patriots.
But close game.
New Orleans in the Super Bowl. I should stick with it. But
close game. Could go either way.
Oh, yeah. I think this will be a tight one. The NFC playoffs, a good one tomorrow night. The Rams are hosting the Cowboys. I see a lot of people picking the Cowboys to win this game with their defense. I don't know if Dak Prescott can make enough plays in this game to win.
That's where I'm at.
I'm going with the Rams.
Yeah, the Cowboys have a defense, but can Dak make plays against guys that are going to be coming at him and a defense that's going to be very active for the Rams? I'm picking the Rams by a touchdown.
I got the Rams in that one by a field goal. I think it'll be tight. The other NFC game I think a lot of people are going to think is going to be the easiest one to pick, and this is why it scares me. Philadelphia is playing some good football right now. The Saints beat the Eagles 48-7 earlier this year. Carson Wentz was a quarterback in that game. The Eagles had a whole bunch of injuries in the secondary, which they still do. But this one isn't going to be 48-7. I can assure you of that. That's at 3:40 on Sunday afternoon. The Saints have home field throughout the playoffs. I'll take the Saints to win this, but I think it's going to be a much tighter game than some people may anticipate. I'll say the Saints win by a touchdown, but it's going to come down to a touchdown in the fourth quarter to win it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'll say the Saints are up by a field goal and then get another touchdown late and win by 10.
Touchdown to cover?
Yeah.
All right, now time for the tough one, maybe. People have been listening to us for a while. They're probably going to assume they know what we're going to predict here, but we may surprise you. All right, the Colts and the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a 5.5 to 6.5 point favorite, depending on what odds makers you look at. I'm not worried about covering the spread here. We're just picking the game straight up. A lot of people, experts, pundits, and I say this those words loosely across the country, are jumping on the Colts bandwagon. I think it is a little bit fool's gold who the Colts have played during their big winning streak. I think we got to keep that into consideration. I think we also have to consider who the Chiefs have played this year. Their schedule is much tougher. The game is at Arrowhead, although honestly, I'm basically throwing that out the window. It doesn't even apply for me anymore.
Not this time.
Until they win a home playoff game, it doesn't apply. The Colts are banged up in some spots. The Chiefs a little bit. The Chiefs are better off health-wise. The Chiefs got the best quarterback in the league. The Colts may have the second-best quarterback in the league right now. There's weaknesses on these teams that match up with the other team. We mentioned the Chiefs' strength is rushing the passer. The Colts are very good at protecting the quarterback. The Chiefs are not good against the run. Indianapolis is a good running team, although not the greatest. The Colts don't have a lot of great weapons down the field in the passing game. That would help because the Chiefs' secondary struggles. The Colts don't do well against tight ends, as we said earlier, and the Chiefs have the best tight end in football. And then there's the Mahomes factor. I have been belaboring this decision all week long, and I've had my head and my heart get into a wrestling match, and it's really put a pain on my body. Because my head tells me the Chiefs are going to find a way to lose this game tomorrow. And why would I think differently? Until I see it, how can I believe it? My heart says, with everybody seems to be jumping on the Colt bandwagon across the country, everybody thinks the Colts are the hottest team in football, the Chiefs aren't really getting the respect maybe they deserve. And I have said all along, and I said it last year, throughout the year, that the Chiefs need to step away from Alex Smith, even though he was the number one rated quarterback, give the keys to Patrick Mahomes. He's going to do something special. I believed in this kid. I think more so than Dusty did. I didn't think he would do what he did this year, obviously. I don't think anybody else did. But there's something special about this kid. And I said before the season that I thought he was good enough to win one playoff game. I thought it'd be in the wild card round. Instead of the divisional round, I thought the Chiefs would not get a first round bye. So I'm telling you what, I'm conflicted so badly on this one, but I'm going to go with my heart, Chiefs fans. And if my heart gets ripped out, this will not be a good show on Monday morning. It'll be a great show. You just might not want to, we might even open up to callers, who knows, to get the frustration out. Although we got to worry about cursing with the FCC. The Chiefs better win this football game tomorrow.
We need a text line like some of the radio stations
we do.
Have.
A helpline is what
that, exactly,
called.
That'll be what that is.
The Chiefs must win this game tomorrow, in my opinion, in order to change the doom and gloom thinking. This, to me, is the biggest game in Chiefs franchise history since the Chiefs played in the AFC title game against the Buffalo Bills in 1994. Okay? And Joe Montana was the quarterback and he got knocked out of that game. I'm still very, 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 very reluctant to make this pick because I'm also worried that Andy Reid will not let Patrick Mahomes decide it in the final minute or two. He will punt the ball instead of keeping it in his hands. Having said all that, I think the Chiefs will find a way, and thankfully the cloud of doom and gloom will be lifted off of Chiefs fans' heads. The monkey will be off the back. And the Chiefs will move on to their first ever conference title game that they will host at Arrowhead. Saran said 34-24. I'm going to say the Chiefs win 37-31. That's my heart. My head says the Chiefs will lose in the worst possible heartbreaking way imaginable. You think the double doink for the Bears off the upright was something? The Chiefs will top that tomorrow somehow, some way. That's what my head's saying. But I'm going to make my decision with my heart, which is many times the wrong way of going about things. Because at some point in God's green earth, the Chiefs have to win a game at home in the playoffs before I die, right?
again.
If it isn't this year, what year is it going to be?
Luckily, we've seen it actually happen before with our own eyes, but unfortunately, some of those kids born in 1995 have not.
Yes.
Which is sad. My head is setting up my heart instead of my heart setting up my head, because my head is setting up my heart for the frustration and the failure. And so I'm going to set it up with my prediction to not be as disappointed on Monday when it happened, or on Sunday when it – Saturday night.
I'm
going
to be disappointed. I'd be disappointed no matter what, how I pick my game.
And the Colts are going to win it on a last-second field goal, 35-34.
I can see the Chiefs missing a big-time field goal in this game, too. Butker makes me a little – Butker, I thought, was automatic last year. This year, he's made me a little bit nervous. There have been some high snaps.
Yeah.
I've noticed that. That's cost him on a couple extra points. Who knows? That Colts may win 35-34 based on the fact that Chiefs missed an extra point.
Could happen, too.
Can you imagine? That would be the worst way to lose
and
it. 35-28.
Yeah.
Colts lead 35-28. The Chiefs have the ball. They go down. And instead of going for two in the win, which makes sense, you're at home, you play for overtime, they kick an extra point, Butker misses the extra point, and the Chiefs lose. That would be probably worse than Parkey and the Bears missing a kick from 43 yards.
Yeah.
That would top it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
By the way, if the Colts are down 38-31 and they go down and score a touchdown, do you think the Colts have the kahunas to go for two and win the game at Arrowhead in a playoff game like that? Do you think anybody does?
Playoffs,
I don't think so either.
I think you go for the tie and see.
But what if you haven't stopped the Chiefs' offense all day long? What if it's the same thing? What if it's the same thing as the Chiefs Colts game when the Chiefs never forced the Colts to punt? Remember that game?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Frank Reich, I think, might have the guts to do it. I guess it depends on the game flows.
Yeah, that's going to be. If it's 38-31, they might. You know, if it's a little lower scoring than what we thought, maybe 28-21.
Yep.
Kind of like the Chargers.
I agree. Lower scoring, they probably would kick the extra point because that means their defense
feel like
is doing
their defense
something.
Can do something, at least stop them and force a field goal at least.
Yeah.
And then you get a chance. All I know is if it goes to overtime, you better hope and pray the Chiefs win the toss.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the only way.
Because then you have to hold them to a field goal so the game continues, because the field goal doesn't end the game right off the bat. 9,135 days. Please. When we come here on Monday, let's say it's been 2 days since the Chiefs last won a home playoff game at Arrowhead. Please. All right. I'm going
to I have one note to pass along with local again before you move on to the next thing here. St. John's Tipton Lincoln is at 4 today for girls varsity. They're starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. No JV games. Girls varsity starts at 4. The boys will follow.
So that means our broadcast will
be
moved
350
up.
On Katy Country 94.
On Katy Country 94. All right. Sounds good. Okay. I'll go let you get Marvin over there real quick, if you don't mind. We move on to the Big 12 College Hoops weekend. Pretty big weekend, the Big 12. Oklahoma State's at West Virginia. K-State is at Iowa State. Tough chore for K-State. They got that win against West Virginia. Maybe they take that momentum coming back from a 21-point deficit to beat the Mountaineers. Maybe they can parlay that into a win against Iowa State and Ames. That'll be tough. TCU at Oklahoma. Texas Tech is at Texas, and KU will be at Baylor this Saturday. Pregame at 2:30 on Z96.3 Lake, and tip-off at 3 o'clock. Baylor, their last home game, they beat Iowa State. Of course, Iowa State just beat Kansas and Ames, so that'll be an interesting game. KU is 0-2 on the road, and Brian Haney says that's something to keep an eye on.
Road games, and I think they're going to hear about that in the next couple of days leading in, and they're going to remember the sting of blowing a lead in Tempe and getting blown out in Ames. And this won't be quite the same atmosphere because the Federal Center is naturally a little bit smaller than those other two arenas by about 4,000 seats. But they'll be raucous, and coming off a top 25 win, they'll be hoping for back-to-backs. And we also remember Kansas going down there and laying an egg a year ago. And so for a lot of reasons, I think the Hawks will be dialed in, and Baylor will have their attention.
KU at Baylor, once again, tip time 3 o'clock tomorrow. Pregame at 2:30 on Z96.3 Lake. K-State and Ames, that'll be 11 a.m. tomorrow. We'll recap those games coming up on Monday. KU 2-1 in the Big 12. K-State's 1-2. Texas Tech atop the standings in the Big 12. By the way, if you missed it, Chiefs game tomorrow will be here on Katy Country 94 instead of Z96.3 Lake. Chiefs hosting the Colts. Pregame at 2 o'clock tomorrow here on Katy Country 94, and kickoff at 3:35. Also earlier this week, we talked a little college football with Riley Gates, a Go Power Cat, And Riley had a chance to catch up with Coach Kleiman and other coaches of North Dakota State when they were playing for the national championship last weekend in Frisco, Texas. And he gives us some insight into what we can expect from this K-State new coaching staff when it comes to offensive philosophy.
They're going to be a run-first team, and I think that Cordy Messingham, that was his approach. That's what he wants to do. He told me, you know, I want to be different. In a world of air raid, I want to run the ball. We got to pass it, obviously, but we got to run it. So it's actually not going to be a whole lot different. And that's what I kind of think played into this decision to hire these guys was it's not a huge culture shock for K-State football. It's a little bit of the same stuff.
So that might be a good thing. I don't think you want to just do the spread because everybody in the Big 12 does the spread offense. So I don't have a problem with that. Just a matter of Kansas executing that, getting some good recruits and running that system under Coach Kleiman. So Riley Gates, our guest, our Wildcat insider, every Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Heineken Electric and Beloit and also Hanson Auction and Realty. Some other notes, and then we'll go back to the Chiefs to wrap up the show. The Cincinnati Bengals reportedly are wanting to hire Zach Taylor as their next head coach. Tim Tebow, he's engaged. Sorry, ladies, he's off the market. He's engaged to a former Miss Universe. She is from South Africa, in case you want to know that. NBA last night, quite the game. Dusty, I'm sure, was very happy. I'm not, because I'm a Thunder fan. The Spurs beat the Thunder 154-147 in double overtime. I'll be honest, I didn't see a single second of it. LaMarcus Aldridge with a career-high 56 in that one. The NBA standings are tight in the West and the East, too. Celtics had an altercation with two of their players, one of them former Jayhawk Marcus Morris. That was in the bench area during their game. Celtics still having a decent year, but they're the 5 seed in the East. They lost to the Heat last night, 115-99. And the best team in the Western Conference is not the Warriors, not the Thunder, not the Spurs, not the Rockets. It's the Denver Nuggets, who last night, Jokic gets a triple-double. Nuggets beat the Clippers 121-100. The Nuggets, a NBA West best, 28-12. One more thing to add before we leave you today on the Sports Ticket. I told you it's about time that the Chiefs end their misery in the playoffs. 9,135 days since they won a home game at Arrowhead, January 8th, 1994. I was a senior in high school. That was a long, long time ago. Here's the great thing about a win tomorrow. If the Chiefs can win tomorrow, think about some of the misery they put to bed. One, you can't win a home playoff game at Arrowhead. You put that to bed. Andy Reid can't win a big game at home. Put that to bed. You can't beat the Colts. This is a two birds with one stone opportunity tomorrow for the Kansas City Chiefs. To make it even sweeter, to get their first ever home playoff game, or excuse me, their first home playoff win at Arrowhead since 1994, wouldn't it make it sweeter to beat a team that's been a nemesis of yours? Who's been the biggest nemesis in the playoffs for the Chiefs in their playoff history?
The Colts.
It's the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are 4-0 all time against the Chiefs. How can we forget 2013? The Chiefs are up 38-10, blew it, lost 45-44. The defense completely collapsed in Indianapolis. Andrew Luck was a quarterback in that game who fumbled the ball. The ball was fumbled, bounced right into his hands, and he went in for a touchdown. How can we forget 2006? Chiefs weren't any good, but had the best running back in football. He was held to 32 yards. They lost 13-8 to Peyton Manning and the Colts. Herm Edwards' team backed in the playoffs that year. How can we not forget the 2003 divisional game where neither team punted and the Colts beat the Chiefs 38-31, a rare fumble by Priest Holmes, a missed field goal by Morton Anderson, and the Chiefs' defense could not get one single freaking stop, and they lost at home to the Colts 38-31. And the one that might hurt more than any of them for me, if you're an older fan, was 1995. The Chiefs were the best team in the AFC in 1995. They had the best defense in the National Football League. A lot of people said Cowboys, Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Chiefs had a bad kicker, had him throughout the year. Cowboys had cut him the previous year. Jimmy Johnson threw his stuff out of the locker room and into the hallway because he was so frustrated with Lynn Elliott and all the missed kicks. Carl Peterson, his infinite wisdom as general manager, Marty Schottenheimer's head coach, didn't force Lynn Elliott to keep his job. He just had his job. He didn't really get pushed too hard, didn't bring a lot of kickers to try to beat him out. He had missed extra points prior weeks up to that game. He missed all three of his field goal attempts, and none of them were particularly close on a cold January day as Jim Harbaugh and the Colts scored 10 points. The Chiefs defense did everything they had to do except shut him out, And also in that game, lost on that, was Steve Bono threw three interceptions. And Lynn Elliott missed three field goals. So if there's anybody that should send the thank you card to Lynn Elliott, it'd be Steve Bono. The Chiefs' offense was so bad that day. The special teams was so bad. And yet they lost only 10-7. They had a chance to tie it. And, of course, Elliott missed a field goal. That one, to me, is the most painful. Although some people will point out the 38-10 lead, that's worse. I don't know, man. Because that team in 2013, I didn't think was going to win the Super Bowl because they didn't have a defense. 1995, the Chiefs team had a running game. They had a quarterback that played pretty well during the season, Steve Bono, play action. And they had a defense that allowed you to win games ugly. That was a missed opportunity in 1995 because the Chiefs didn't address a personnel issue, and that was their kicker was a liability. And I kept screaming, even at the end of that regular season, I remember saying, I hope it doesn't come down to a kick because Lynn Elliott is awful. Me and my roommates at Bethany College were screaming for weeks, we need to get rid of our kicker. Everybody knew it except Carl Peterson and Marty Schottenheimer, apparently, and it cost them, and they lost that game. All of that misery, Chiefs people out here that you've been saying, what's up with the doom and gloom thinking? I just gave you four reasons why there's doom and gloom thinking, and I haven't even counted the other losses to other teams. Just the Colts versus the Chiefs should give you enough doom and gloom thinking. But what would make tomorrow even sweeter would be that the Chiefs are beating a team that they are 0-for against in the playoffs, a nemesis, the Indianapolis Colts. That would make it so much sweeter, and the Chiefs could make it their first ever AFC title game that they would host at Arrowhead. And also would make it pretty sweet is that you have the best quarterback in the league two wins away from hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. It's possible, Chiefs fans. I know it's possible. I still think this team has too many warts to win the Super Bowl. I don't think the defense is good enough. I think they get penalized too much. I am concerned about the running game and clutch situations because there is no Kareem Hunt. I'm worried about Andy Reid's clock management. I'm worried about Andy Reid's play calling in key situations. All right, all of that tells me I don't believe the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl this year. I do believe, however, that if the Chiefs win tomorrow, I think the Chiefs will be in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. And here's why. The Patriots, the Chiefs can beat at Arrowhead. They should have beat them in New England. I would rather play the Patriots than the Chargers. I would love to knock off the Patriots and Tom Brady and maybe end their reign atop the AFC. Let the Chiefs be the organization to end the Patriots' reign right there at Arrowhead. It'd be a changing of the guard, a passing of the torch from Brady to Mahomes, from the Patriots to the Chiefs. And maybe the Chiefs can be the Patriots dynasty for the next 10 years. I'm open to that. I also believe if the Chargers do win over the Patriots, which was my prediction, the Chargers go to Kansas City. I like the Chiefs to beat the Chargers third time around, and I think they'll be the ultimate focus because they blew the game previously against the Chargers, and also the Chiefs will have the monkey off their back about how they can't win that home playoff game. And you cannot tell me that the energy at Arrowhead would not be different and will not be different against the Chargers or Patriots if you've just beaten the Colts. You get my energy thing? Because I'm going to tell you tomorrow against the Colts, if the Colts go out and score a touchdown right off the bat, you're going to hear the nervous energy through your TV set. If the Chiefs defense gets torched for a touchdown or misses extra point or a field goal, or Andy Reid with a questionable play call, you're going to hear the anxiousness and the nervousness. You're going to hear that energy in a bad energy way coming through the TV. Believe me, you're going to hear it through the radio. But if they win the game, and that's part of the doom and gloom thinking, by the way. But if they win the game tomorrow and they play an FC title game, I think your energy is different. And I'm going to tell you right now, why do I say that? Because that's how I know I'm going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And I can speak for a lot of Chiefs fans that are with me on the doom and gloom thinking. So tomorrow is a chance for the Chiefs organization to take care and slay their nemesis in the playoffs, the Colts, at home in front of 80,000 noisy, raucous Chiefs fans, a chance, whether it's snowy, rainy, bad weather, I don't care what the weather is, it's a chance to shut up the critics of Andy Reid, at least for a day. It's a chance for the critics to shut up in regards to the Chiefs can't win at home, and it's a chance to extinguish the cloud called doom and gloom thinking that Chiefs Kingdom has, and they have it because the Chiefs have created it. It's not the fans' fault that we are negative Nellies or we're worried about the worst things happening against whoever we play. The Chiefs have created it. It's now time.
You have gone through the season. You've earned the number one seed. You're the best team in AFC. You have the best quarterback in all of the world. You're at home. It's time to get it done. If not, well, same old Chiefs. It's a Friday, January 11th, 2019. Have a great day. Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. Go Chiefs.